to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back for the fourth and final installment of our conversation with Dr. Jason Hill, professor of philosophy at DePaul University, the author of a number of extraordinary books, including one that is shortly to be published, entitled We Have Overcome, An Immigrant's Letter to the American People. Professor, you've painted a very troubling picture of what is happening in America, and I did want to ask you to drill down on some of your perceptions as to the role that these Sharia supremacists, Islamists, the Muslim Brotherhood most especially, are playing at the moment, not just on college campuses, but in the practice of what they call civilization jihad in our country. How do you see that? How serious a threat is it? And again, how far advanced is their program?
I'm not sure how far advanced their program is in America, but I will say that if the current intellectual trends continue, civilization jihad will gain ascendancy in America in the way that it is certainly gaining and has gained ascendancy in Europe. I think we need to embrace a form of moral insurrectionism, conservative-minded people. But let's just not even say just conservative-minded people, people who are free lovers of this great country of freedom and liberty. We have to revive the culture wars, I'm sorry to say. I thought the culture wars had died sometime after the late 90s. I think it's time for a revival of the culture wars. And I think the culture wars, the battle lines have to be drawn very, very clearly, in which we start pressuring universities who have satellite groups or these parallel groups like the Muslim Brotherhood on campus to declare such organizations as terrorist organizations, which they are. And there has to be a very, very strong, intransigent, ruthless, implacable move on the part of freedom-loving people to cast these terrorists and these civilization jihadists, as they call themselves, these Islamists, as terrorists and destroy their moral credibility in the eyes of our American young people. Because I think with the relativism that is gaining ascendance in campus, people just see these groups as one among any other groups with equal moral status. And that's just false. And a revival, I think, a strong revival of the cultural wars in which we begin the process of defunding these universities also that are housing and giving a platform. This is not just an issue of free speech. You don't give free speech to an organization that incites violence, that advocates violence.
Now, let me ask you about this, because, Professor, I'm sure our critics would seize on this and say, well, wait a minute, the Muslim Brotherhood has eschewed violence. They have made it clear that they oppose terrorism, that they are champions of Islam, to be sure, but they're not the violent kind, and therefore they're the antidotes to Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State and the like, those terrorist organizations and partners for us in trying to protect all of us, Muslim and non-Muslim alike in this country. You've obviously seen this rather differently. Expand on that, if you would.
Well, I see that the philosophy, the ideology, and the philosophical fuel that is vitalizing and revitalizing some of these seemingly disparate group or non-connected groups who are operating in isolation coming from something like the Muslim Brotherhood. So I think there is an ideology and a philosophy that is profoundly anti-Western, profoundly anti-American, that is coming out of such organizations.
Yeah, but they call it Sharia. Make no mistake about it. They know that they've got that ideology for sure.
That's right. So they can give all sorts of unconscionable lip service about not advocating violence. They just have good PR managers, I think, and want to present a different front. But let's not mistake what is at the heart of the core, the constitutive core features of their identity. They're Shariists, and people are getting a particular philosophical justification for acting the way they do, both groups, terrorist groups, and private individuals, and people who hold certain viewpoints about the West from such organizations.
Well, at the very least, the Sharia is, as we've been discussing, a supremacist operation, and whether violence is used to achieve it which I think they all understand is the preferred way of getting it, drawing on Muhammad's personal experience, or whether for the time being they have to use more stealthy techniques, this civilization jihad, as you've said. It's the same purpose they're both serving. They're seeking the same end. It's perhaps just a disagreement that may be just of the most ephemeral kind of tactics. But let me ask you, Professor, I mean, you, again, are a serious student of our culture. You have chronicled a lot of it in your books. And by the way, I did want to compliment you on a marvelous interview that you gave to my friend Ginny Thomas at the Daily Caller recently. And I urge all of our listeners to check out the video of that conversation you had with her on many of these subjects. But one that I did want to just ask in closing about, Professor, is something that is baked into Sharia that one would think is so fundamentally at odds with Western culture and civilization and the tenets of many on the left, no less, notably the feminists and people who have long regarded them as victims, women who have been mistreated. And now of late, of course, this rather considerable public conversation and highly charged political debate about the various forms of sexual abuse of women. And yet we are finding a kind of black hole when it comes to discussing the institutionalized mistreatment of women that is inherent in Sharia. I wonder if you might talk about that, again, anomaly and what it portends if we continue in ignoring that threat.
Well, I think, you know, when you have feminists like Judith Butler and others who from the radical left who turn a blind eye and pledge allegiance to many of these terrorist or Islamic terrorist organizations, I think really what people undermine is that these strategic alliances are being made in the spirit of there are trade-offs in the minds of the academic left. And what people are undermining is the actual hatred for America. There's a profound, I've seen it over and over again, and this is one of the reasons that, you know, my forthcoming book was written to sort of remedy this. There's a profound hatred, and that hatred supersedes any kind of knowledge or any kind of insight that one might have into the malfeasance and the misbehaviors and just the downright evil of these organizations and at the very heart of Sharia. And it's the hatred that's fueling what seems to be the turning of a blind eye towards the tenets of Sharia and what would happen if they ever took root in America.
It is taking root. You know, the female genital mutilation is taking place here, as you know. You've got honor killings taking place here. You've got where these Sharia courts or tribunals are beginning to operate. You have unequal treatment under the law. You have grooming gangs in Britain, if not elsewhere, and the like. I mean, these are things that are now present in the West, as you know, Professor Hill, and it's alarming, and to the extent that we do turn a blind eye to it, I fear we invite more of it and worse.
This is right, and this is why I think only a revival of some form of the culture wars in which we give our hearts and soul to draining the moral credibility that these organizations have.
But it starts, doesn't it, with understanding the moral superiority of Western civilization and our willingness to embrace and defend it, I think.
That's right. That's right.
Professor, we are hard out of time. There is so much more to talk about. I'm looking forward to the publication sometime in April, I'm told, of your new book, We Have Overcome, An Immigrant's Letter to the American People. I hope you'll come back and let us have another hour of your time. This has flown by. It's been fascinating and inspiring, and I appreciate so much what you do. Keep it up and do come back to us soon. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.